We set aside a day and call it Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Churches all across America, tens of thousands of churches, set aside a day a year in the calendar to make a stand, so to speak. In our case, not so much to try to convince you that we are and should remain pro-life. I'm assuming many, if not most of you, are already on the pro-life camp of this discussion. Not so much to argue or to reason. If you want a good argument for pro-life, go back to the America's Got Issues series from a year or so ago online, and the one in the middle there on America's Got Issues with Abortion. I lay out the argument and deal with the objections and with the statements with regard to this discussion. But today, I wanted us to take a little different slant on this issue, and that is to spend some time just thinking about the wonderful gift that life is, and the beautiful choice of life. Since the early 70s, when Roe v. Wade passed, and the law of the land gave a young woman the right to choose, 50 million children have been denied the right to choose. 50 million. Those, unfortunately, too often are nameless non-individuals. Today, I'd like us to take just a moment, if you would, to stand in honor of and in memory of 50 million children. And would you bow with me for a moment of silence? Lord, we stand here in this moment to acknowledge the almost unimaginable loss of human life that has resulted from a law that's been passed. We just can't walk by that number. For every one of those numbers represents a life that you gave, a gift, but a life that did not realize that little boy or girl's potential to see their dreams fulfilled, the dreams of their family members come true. Instead, lives cut short. Lord, we humbly acknowledge our part because this is our country. This is our society. And while we may have not chosen to end a life in the womb personally, we own the responsibility as your people in this nation to use our influence and to exercise our rights to champion the rights of the unborn. So, Lord, we confess and repent on behalf of our nation the sin of abortion, of murder. We acknowledge before you that every one of those 50 million lives are precious to you, wonderful in your sight. And we acknowledge before you, from this day forward, we must continue to stand and to fight for life. Bless these words, Lord, and our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 50 million. These were sons and daughters. These were brothers and sisters. These were grandchildren. These were somebody's niece, nephew, neighbor, friend, coworker. These were musicians and poets and artists, athletes, architects, engineers. They were doctors and soldiers, policemen, firefighters. They were citizens who might have grown to realize their full potential and see their dreams come true. These were teachers who might have made tremendous influence in people's lives through the classroom and through learning. These were ministers that God might have called out to speak truth into the fabric of a nation, direct lives. These might have been missionaries who went out from our nation to the nations of the world, bringing hope and help. They might have been any number of things. But unfortunately, and instead, they are numbers. 50 million. As for me, I'm unapologetically and clearly pro-life. I believe in making the right choice. I'm not okay that our nation has given the choice over to some who would make the choice more important than the life chosen to terminate. But it is the law of the land, and so in this context, I'm for making the right choice. And the choice is to honor the gift of life that God has given, to preserve and protect life, to fight for life. I don't come to that conclusion on my own. I come to God's word, and I find God is also pro-life. Let me make a few comments. Number one, God is active in the creative process. Genesis chapter 1, let's go to the beginning. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God is active, not absent, in the creative process. Job chapter 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you, O Lord, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made. I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God is active in the creative process. Life is something God does. It's not an unwanted or inconvenient consequence. Even if unintended or inconvenient, it does not translate to accidental, because God is active in the creative process. God is working. God is the giver of life. He has truly invited us into the process of creation through procreation, but it's still God. And at the heart of this discussion, you and I must remember that it's God who acts through procreation and creation. And we ought to let God do what God will do. Let me say, secondly, that life begins at conception. We believe this because God's word speaks. Isaiah 49, verse 1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you, he said to Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nations. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 16, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, the shepherds did, and the baby. Same word for what was living in Elizabeth's womb for Jesus delivered and laying in the manger. Same word, baby. It's a baby. Life begins at conception. We have so much more technology and information now than was available in the early 70s. We can see things now and understand things like we could not then. And the viability of the life outside the womb continues to go down. Fewer and fewer weeks. One time it was 28 or so weeks, but there are numbers of examples of children who live who are less than 28 weeks. And besides, life is life, and life begins at conception. Watch this video, and let's follow the journey of life from conception. Doesn't that just make you want to say, aw? I'm flashing back at three different three different days in my history when Beverly and I first held our child. God is active in the creative process. Life begins at conception. And third, let me say, life is a sacred and should be protected gift. Job said in chapter 10, "You gave me life and showed me kindness, and in your providence watched over my spirit." Psalm 127:3, "Behold, children are a gift. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And so, because life is a gift from the hand of God, it ought to be in the power of the hand of God to give, to leave, to take. It's not ours. The Bible says instead in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, "You shall not murder." That is the taking of innocent life. Don't do it. Today, I want us to move very intentionally and strategically into the direction of choosing life and discovering what some of the options are and where some of the help is available. So today I have one of our very own members, Mona Parrish, who is the director of CareNet Pregnancy Center. And Mona's going to join me just now on the platform. Would you help me welcome one of our own, Mona Parrish? Yay. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, David.
You're not nervous, are you?
I am not.
Good. Just don't look at them.
I won't.
Because they'll make you nervous. Mona is the director of the CareNet Pregnancy Center, and as you, many of you will know, that's one of several ministries to young mothers in our church and in our community. I know Mission Greens Point is another that we work with in partnership. They're over in the Greens Point area. Mention one or two others that we work with.
New Life Pregnancy Center is at the 249 and 249 area, 1960.
249 and 249. We know right where that is.
Right there at Cypresswood, actually.
At Cypresswood. Yeah. Very good. Excellent. So the number of these are right here in our community.
Correct.
Now, CareNet is especially close to our community. Tell us about where is CareNet.
We're on Wunderlich, which is about half a mile from here. It takes me 2 minutes to from my parking spot at CareNet to my parking spot at CFBC.
What happens if someone's in your parking spot at CFBC?
I graciously take another
one. You just move over. Okay, good. Ideal member. Very good. So you just moved there. In what, a year or so ago?
2010 May, we saw our first client there at our new location. We've actually been in ministry for 20 years. We're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year at this location. Thank you. At this location since May of 2010. We were actually able to purchase the building where we are now at a great monetary savings for us over leasing. So we're really excited about that.
Okay, shameless commercial.
Yes.
You relocated where you're paying lease to a purchase, and God gave you a really great offer, opportunity to purchase this facility. That way you own it, and that means you can pour money into ministry and not interest or lease payments.
That would be ideal. At the moment, we do still have some debt on that building. We've moved from $495,000 mortgage to $276,000 in the last year and a half or so.
Amen.
We're very excited about that and looking to pay off that mortgage completely so that all of our dollars can be spent on ministry rather than on facilities.
Amen. So you made that much progress in just 2 years, so that shows good stewardship, that you're prioritizing removing the debt so that you can pour all the resources into ministry. Shameless plug and commercial now concluding. Let's get back to the topic at hand. Give us in a few sentences your mission. What is the mission of CareNet Pregnancy Center?
Our mission is to show the love of Christ to women, to men, and to families who are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy or a crisis pregnancy. We do that through offering pregnancy testing, ultrasound, a listening ear, good counsel, further services, ultrasound, educational classes, and resources.
Now, we'd all like to go with you and take a tour. Can we do that?
We can.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Watch your screens. We're going to make it easy for you. Thank you. Very nice. We like your new place.
Thank you. We
Very
do
nice.
Too.
All right. Now, take us on a little tour of how it works. Someone comes in, and from the first point, tell us how they're feeling, what's going on typically that you see, and then walk us sort of through the process.
Most of our clients come to us looking for a pregnancy test. They may have taken one at home, but they want confirmation that they are indeed pregnant. They also come to us for information. Increasingly, we are seeing women who are considering abortion and are coming just to get information to find out what their options are. We're really excited about that. When a woman comes in, she generally will sit down with a care staff member who's been especially trained to visit with her about her situation, get information about the support that she might have, the things that she needs in her life, run the pregnancy test. We also ask if it's okay if we can share the gospel with her. We say, are you open to me sharing my spiritual beliefs? And we're able to do that. Actually, last year at the pregnancy center, we saw 48 women pray to receive Christ.
Amen.
During those appointments. Once she has visited with her care staff member, she will many times be offered an ultrasound where she can actually see her baby in her womb. We have a big screen monitor so that she can look up and see it larger than life. That is the place where many times lives and hearts are changed when they see their own baby on the ultrasound screen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I know we sometimes, who are on the pro-life side of this discussion, are accused of wanting to force a burden on a young mother, but not being willing to help carry that burden. Tell us how we are actually able, available, and willing to do that as Christians and through Christian ministries like CareNet and others that we've mentioned, New Life and Missions Greenspoint. How do we come alongside and help?
At CareNet, we generally see a woman during the first part of her pregnancy. So we're meeting with her and showing her that she can indeed find ways that this will not be a burden. There are many resources in our community, and we have a really well-developed resource database so that if someone needs housing, if someone needs legal counsel, if someone needs food, clothing, all those kinds of things, if we can't provide that at CareNet, we have friends, and we have vetted these organizations very well so that we know when we send one of our clients there, they will be treated as we want them to be treated.
Awesome. And you've seen how many clients, would you say?
Over the 20 years that we've been in ministry, we've seen almost 18,000 clients.
Wow.
That is counting young women only, not counting the men and families.
Amen.
During the last year, we saw almost 1,300 new clients with about double that many client visits.
In one year. That
mm-hmm.
is amazing. Believing that the information, especially, for example, the sonogram, when a young mother sees that's a baby, you know, regardless of what you're told on the other side, it's hard to see your baby, right? And it's such a powerful thing. So the information and the science that's available that you all make available, and then the practical counseling and help to show them how they can actually do this. Also, of course, there's the option of adoption,
yes.
Which we love.
We do.
We really do. And you see that happen quite often, that through various agencies, we're able to do that.
We see that happen. Adoption is not a 50% option. It's more like a 3% option. Mm-hmm. Most women do not go that way. But we do introduce that concept as we speak to women and then follow through with information about that. Actually, New Life Pregnancy Center is a great resource for us because they deal more with the adoption process.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Wonderful. Now let's talk about us and the general Christian community. How can we help you fight this battle for life? What can we do in coming alongside of you? And speak also on behalf of these other organizations that we work with. How do we get involved in this?
Okay. I don't know of any organization that cannot use actual physical volunteers. We are always looking for women who are willing to sit down in the appointment room with a young woman and meet with her face-to-face. Also, other kinds of volunteers, clerical and sorting and those kinds of things. So volunteers are a good way. Financially, you can always support CareNet or any of the pro-life ministries with finances. There are always bills to be paid. Prayer is much needed. I think sometimes we underestimate the value of that uplifting in prayer that that the body of Christ can provide for ministries.
Amen. Well, I'm honored, and I know you are as well, to be linked up in partnership with so many practical ministries. You know, it's one thing to stand in the pulpit and to preach against a particular issue. It's another to say, we're not just against this, we are for this. And let's talk about how we can help you as a young mother or a young parent and family to move in the direction of making the right choice and come alongside of you to help you learn and discover and then to be successful in raising that child and allowing that child to experience what God created that child to experience. Thank you. Would you join me in thanking Mona Parrish and CareNet Pregnancy?
Thank you.
Great job. Beautiful. I wish we could see, and maybe in heaven God will let us see, the impact of the tens of thousands of lives that have been saved through ministries like CareNet, New Life, Mission Greenspoint, and so many others all across our country. But sometimes God gives us a glimpse into just one. This week, Wednesday, myself and Tom Riley and my daughter Rebecca left and headed down to Haiti and spent just a couple of quick days in Haiti. We were there at the invitation of an organization known as New Missions. Perhaps you've heard me talk about planting a church in Haiti and how we were so excited about being able to do something in Haiti that would make a world and eternity of difference for a community that has no church, no school, no clinic, no food. And in the aftermath of the earthquake, that's only multiplied exponentially. But to be able to go into an area and with our resources and with our volunteers and with New Missions to be able to do some really amazing things. So on Thursday and Friday, we were able to tour around and see the existing churches, schools, clinics that are going on that New Missions has put into place through partnerships with churches like ours here in the States. It was amazing to see hundreds of children who otherwise would have no nutritious meal, healthy and just as happy as they could be, learning and studying, and also to see their medical needs are taken care of, and they have a bright future. They start out in the schools, and they grow through the elementary, and then they have a high school. Their high school has 1,800 students in their high school alone. They have to do it in two sessions, a morning and an afternoon session. More than 500 Haitians are employed by New Missions organization, having graduated from the program. They're nurses, they are teachers, they are administrators, they are pastors. And I could just see so many wonderful and amazing things happening in Haiti. They have really gone into this area called the Léogâne Plain and changed the world for eternity for a region of the world. It's amazing to see. And I was just, I didn't sleep at all. If I fall asleep in the next few minutes, you'll know why. I haven't slept for days because I've been so excited. And you're wondering, what in the world has church planning and missions in Haiti got to do with sanctity of human life? As we were driving up into the mountains, the gentleman, Tim, who is the president of New Missions organization, whose father and mother started New Missions in the early 80s when they left the States feeling called to Haiti to plant a church and to begin a ministry. Tim was 11 years old. And so Tim grew up in Haiti. He speaks the language fluently. He's very much connected to the culture there, as are his brothers, his siblings. But Tim is now the president of New Missions organization, has given his life to changing lives in the tens of thousands. Right now, today, 10,800 and a few more children are in the program from kindergarten up through 12th grade, not including all those who have graduated from the program and gone literally all around the world serving in various ways. As we were driving up the mountain, Tim said to me, and this is what preachers sometimes do to each other, they say, "You got a sermon ready for Sunday?" And I said, "I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close." He said, "What you preaching on?" I said, "Well, I'm going to preach on life, and we're going to observe the sanctity of human life Sunday." He said, "No kidding." He said, "What's your angle? What's your angle?" I said, "Well, I'm for life." He said, yeah, I got that part. He said, no, I mean, what are you focusing on?" I said, "Well, I just really feel led this time to focus on the beauty and the wonder and the value of life. I don't want to go in there and, you know, preach against. I want to talk about the beauty and the wonder of life, the potential of life." And so I was sharing all this, and he said, "Well, have you ever heard my story?" And I've just met Tim. We've had some relationships over the last few years, but I've just met him in the last few months personally and just getting to know him. I said, I haven't heard your story. What are you talking about? And as preachers sometimes do, he told me his story. In the early 70s, Tim's mom had some difficult pregnancies. And Tim had some siblings who did not survive. So when Tim was conceived, his mother went to the doctor, and believing that the journey would be similar with Tim as it had been with the previous siblings, the doctor, chief of staff in Boston, urged her to have an abortion and not to put herself through the pain of losing yet another child. So Tim's mother, believing the doctor knew best, scheduled the abortion. She had a difficult time with it. She wrestled with it. She went home, and not feeling she could talk to her husband yet, she called her mother on the phone and began to tell her mother about the circumstances and how she was just distraught, didn't know what to do. But the doctor had recommended she have an abortion, and she thought she should listen to the doctor. What she didn't know was her 11-year-old son, George, was sitting at the top of the stairs listening to the whole conversation. And when she hung up with her mother, George came downstairs and said, Mom, if this little baby's going to die anyway, why don't we just let him go the way the others did? And hearing the voice of God in her son, she called immediately to cancel the abortion. Chose instead to trust the Lord with Tim instead of a doctor. Chose instead to see what God would do. She made the right choice. Tim didn't go the way his siblings did. Tim had difficulties and great challenges. He made medical history with the number of transfusions that were required to sustain his life. But Tim survived. And I was glad because I was riding in the truck next to him. He speaks the language and he knows how to get around in Haiti. And as soon as he said what his older brother said, I thought to myself, moment of decision, will we trust the Lord who is active in the creative process? Will we trust the Lord that life is precious, begins at conception, and should be cherished? Should we trust the Lord and choose life? Believing it's in God's hands, praying and hoping that God will do something with the life that he has given. And now I see Tim literally with his family and their mission organization ministering to thousands of desperately needy children and families. And I can't help but wonder, what if she had chosen differently? One life. Thousands upon thousands of lives changed. The value of a life in God's hand. It's true we can count the seeds in an apple, but can we count the apples in a seed? We who are unapologetically and clearly pro-life have a message. If you or your loved one, someone in your family, has gone through the tragedy of an abortion, we want to extend to you a message of healing. We want to invite you and encourage you to reach out. Don't suffer in silence. Don't let shame win. There is forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace. Reach out. Come and talk to us here at the church through our pastoral care and counseling center. Go to one of these wonderful organizations or agencies like CareNet or New Life or Mission Greenspoint. Reach out. There is help and there is healing and there is hope. It's the devil that wants to keep you down. Reach out. There is a message of healing. If you're in a situation where you or someone you know may be thinking at this point that abortion is the only answer, or the most practical answer or the best answer. Let us offer you a word of hope. You may feel trapped by your circumstances, but there is hope. There is hope that others will come alongside of you and help you because they value the life that God has given you and want to show you the potential of that life. There is for you a hand of help. God will help you. The Christian community, the church, this church will help you. Make the right choice. Choose life. And third, for those of us who believe in our heart of hearts that abortion is fundamentally wrong and is the wrong choice, let us extend a hand of help to do whatever we can to save innocent lives, whether it's volunteering in an organization or giving to fund and support ministries who intervene and protect life. Certainly praying, working towards an end of this tragedy in America and in the world. And yes, making decisions with your influence, even as small as one vote for life. Who knows how many Tim DeTellises are waiting for mom and dad to make the right choice? How many Tims are waiting for Christians like us to come alongside mom and dad and show them how, to offer them help, to give them hope? How many Tims? And through those Tims, how many thousands are waiting for Tim's ministry? The power of one life, the power of one choice. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I'm grateful to spend time with Tim and to be reminded just this Friday of the power of the choice, the power of life, the potential in the future in one little child. What a great example he is, and how many more dreams are still to come true, visions come to reality. How many more lives to be changed through the power of one person, one choice, one life. Lord, we commit to you today, on this day that we say we believe in life, to do more than just say it, to live it, to work for it, to give toward it, to fight for it. Lord, help us to defend life, to love what you love, to hate what you hate, to do what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.